ahead and have a seat. You may not know me. I am Pastor Mike Schooley. I have been away for 7 weeks on this thing called a sabbatical, and so the question that I'm asked a lot is, how was it? And have you ever had something happen to you that you can't describe? Like, you can try to describe, but you can't describe? You know, how do you describe your marriage to someone who's not married? How do you describe the Grand Canyon to someone who's never been to the Grand Canyon? How do you describe the feeling of the beach if you've never been to the beach? And I can't really describe it to you, but I'll give you a phrase that I think is one of the things I walked away with. It's not about what you do, it's about who you do it with. It's not about what, like, if you ask me what I did, there was nothing fancy about it. We went to the Adirondacks for 1 week, we hung around the house a little bit, did some projects, but I can tell you it had, the sabbatical and what God had planned for me in the sabbatical was less about what we did and more about who I did it with. And so to do it with Gina, the kids, and just build something. And so it was a filling time. It was a time where I feel like God really showed up in some amazing ways. And I say that too because as we were going through the 7 weeks, I got a chance to worship at different places. And I feel the same way. It's important to worship, you know, and I love to worship God anywhere. But there's something about who I worship with too. There's something that I love. I came back to the soccer game, all right? There's a kids soccer game, which I did score a goal and had an assist and really led our team to victory. But I'll put that on the side note. But I was looking around and like, man, I miss these people. I love these. This is who I'm doing life with. This is who I do this worship and walking with God thing. And then we were at the lake, and it was Sunday morning, and we didn't end up going to church that day. But Jared Hobson had the baptism on Facebook Live. I'm like, and I love our baptism. I love the celebration of life change. I love to see the falls behind them. I love to hear the stories of what God is doing. So just for you to know, I love not just what we do, even though I love what we do, but I love even more so who I get to do this with. And I want to especially thank a couple people. First of all, I went away, and for most of the time, I did not worry about the church. And I'm not saying, and it says a lot about Jeremy. I appreciate serving beside Jeremy, Pastor Jeremy, and I love to see him working with the young people. I love to see how he is led in my absence, and I feel like he could lead without me being here. I mean, I could go away, and I feel completely confident. I really appreciate his heart, his shepherding, and I'm sure he's glad to have me back. I'm sure his wife is glad to have me back, so he can get back to. And then another person I wanted to just kind of mention is Rick Cornfield. I don't know if you got to know him a little bit, but I really appreciate his pastoring and just him being here as a support to our church. And just again, it's not about what we do, but it's good to be able to do it with them. And we do have a lot of fun as well in just our conversations and that. But I just want to thank them for what they did. And I also want to thank another person. I did not get to work with him, I don't even know, one day this summer. But I've heard a lot of great things. We had an intern here who's leaving Tuesday. You may not have seen him too much, but you've probably seen some of the things that he's doing. And so Jared Hobson, I don't know if he's in here someplace. He's in the back doing some media stuff. But you may see some stuff on the tech side, Twitter, Facebook, the Facebook Live videos. He's done a great job this summer. And I want to say this too. I know I'm supposed to be getting to a message, but ministry takes different forms. Sometimes we think that ministry or serving is like one thing, like children's ministry or preaching. God uses your passions to create life change. In fact, whether it's sport, we did a VBS, we did a sports camp. God uses what you are good at to create life. And Jared got to use some of his gifts and passions. And I don't know, maybe you can talk him into coming back next year. I don't know. But I just loved that he was here, even though I didn't get to spend a moment with him. Now to the message. So I was talking to someone over here, and they're like, well, 7 weeks, you should be really good. And I was thinking the other way. 7 weeks, I don't even know what I'm doing anymore, you know? And Isaiah chapter 30. And so this series is really what God has been kind of showing me, revealing to me, things that I may have already known, but like, this is what I want you to hear. This is what I want you to experience. This is this is what I want for you. And so I just wanted to share what God has been showing me to you, because I think you need to hear this. And the truth is, as we're looking at our lives, my guess is most of you haven't had 7 weeks to fill. Most of you are walking around with your glass at best half full, maybe a quarter full, maybe empty. And you're just, your strength is waning. Do you know what I mean? Like you keep going, you keep putting one foot in front of the other, but your strength, your ability to keep having passion for life and pouring out on people and pouring into your family, it's tough sometimes to keep going, right? When you're living on empty, it's tough to pour more out. And when you're running on empty, when your cup is empty and you're trying to pour out, let me just tell you what happened. You can go a little while, but at some point, you will run out of gas. At some point, you will hit the wall. You will want to stop, and you will want, and I want us to be at a point where God on a Sunday morning just fills us so that we can pour more out, so we can have energy. You know what happens too when you get filled? There's a joy. There's a vibrancy that comes back sometimes when you start filling yourself. And so I was in a bunch of books, but Isaiah is one of those books that I was in. And most of us never really read Isaiah because it's really tough reading sometimes. It's a prophet. Much of the Old Testament are prophets that were sent to speak to Israel about where they're at. And it's really a message from God saying, listen, you got his message was the same. You got to come back to me. You got to return to me. This is what's going to happen if you don't return to me. I love you and I have compassion for you and I want you to come back. And so Isaiah was sent by God to Israel at a time when they're going through the motions of religion. They're showing up at church. They're singing songs. They're doing their sacrifices. From the outside view of other countries looking at Israel, man, they're a country that worships God. But their hearts are not. Their hearts are far from him. Their hearts are kind of going through the motions. Arrive at church, come home from church, and really it's leaving them feeling empty. Like they're thirsting for more, but they're looking for it all sorts of places. So Isaiah comes. God sends Isaiah to Israel to really speak into this going through the emotions kind of religion and wanting them to come back. And so Israel, at this point in Isaiah's life, is really facing a very tough thing. They had been paying money to Assyria, basically taxes to Assyria, another nation, so that they wouldn't attack them. And so Israel finally says, we don't have any more to give. We're out. We're done. And so now they're at the point where they're getting nervous because they know that Assyria is coming. Because Assyria, if you know anything about the nation of Assyria, this is in the Bible, but this is also in other accounts, historical accounts, is a very vindictive and really evil nation. Let me just read some of their own generals, what they would say about what they would do. I think this is a general writing. Obviously, I'm not speaking in their language. I'm going to give it to you in English. It says, I destroyed, I demolished, I burned, I took their warriors prisoners. I impaled them on stakes before their cities. I flayed their nobles, as many as had rebelled. I spread their skins out on the piles of dead corpses. Many of the captives I burned in a fire. Many I took alive. From some I cut off their hands to right. From the others I cut off their noses, ears, and fingers. I put out their eyes of many of the soldiers. All right, that's one of the generals. Here's another general. I slew 260 fighting men. I cut off their heads, made pyramids thereof. I slew one of every two. I built a wall before the great city, before the great gates of the city of, he's basically saying, of these heads that he cut off. I flayed the chief men of the rebels, and I covered the walls with their skins. Some of them were enclosed alive in the bricks of the wall. Some of them were crucified on stakes along the wall. I caused a great multitude of them to be flayed in my presence. I covered the walls with their skins. I gathered together the heads of the former crowns and their pierced bodies in the former garlands. Do you see the evilness? Like, they were about striking fear into their enemy. And so they go into one town. If that town rebelled, they would come in and they would rape, pillage, kill, cut. And do you know what now why Jonah was so hesitant to go to Assyria to tell them that they need to repent? I mean, is there any doubt that any of us would be like, the Assyrians, first of all, I don't want to be flayed or decapitated or my eyes pulled out. I like my body parts. Secondly, they don't deserve the grace of God. And so I don't want to go. And so this nation is coming to Israel to probably do the same thing. And so you have the leaders of Israel looking around and be like, all right, we got to do something. Now, let me just stop there before we're going to get into Isaiah 30. I wonder, as I'm looking in this room, how many of you are facing your own Assyrias this morning? And I know it maybe not that bad of like being flayed, but you are facing some things that are as difficult as you've ever experienced. Like you're in this no-win situation. You're looking at your life and you really, in reality, you don't see a way out. You don't know how to navigate it. You're struggling with just surviving it. You're facing your own Assyria and you have no idea what to do. But maybe you're this morning, you don't have an Assyria, but I'm pretty much going to guess that you have something in your life that you're wrestling through right now that you have to either make a decision on, you have to travel through, you have to work through. There's a weight in your life that your spirit is working on. Maybe it's relationships. You're trying to figure out how to deal with this relationship. Maybe you're trying to figure out, what do I do with work? Do I quit work? Do I change jobs? Do I keep this job? Maybe you're trying to figure out, how do I salvage this marriage? Maybe you're trying to figure out, how do I help my grown kids to walk with Christ? What do I do here? Maybe it's something with your money. You're like, man, I'm going under. I need to figure out how to get so that I have excess, so I can live with more in my account rather than less in my account. I don't know what it is, but I'm guessing that you're coming in this morning and you're carrying something that you're wrestling through. Let me just say this. No one else in the room knows you're wrestling. The person sitting next to you may not know you're wrestling because we want to put on an image that we're okay. But we all wrestle. We all are facing something that we don't know how to navigate. And so Israel has that issue. And so I imagine their leaders get together. They go into their boardroom. They get the whiteboard out. And they start planning. All right, so we got Assyria coming. What do we do? Well, we could pay them their taxes. We could try to get more money out of nothing. We could hide. You know how you do the whole brainstorming session? They're like, well, give me your worst ideas and your best. Let's just lay it on the table. Give me all your ideas. Lay them all out. And so they're like writing like nothing. You ever have that point where you're like looking at it and you're like, I have no idea. And so finally one guy stands up probably and says this. You know, there's this nation, this is a long shot, but there's this nation down the street called Egypt. How about we send envoys to Egypt? And let's make a treaty with Egypt. They'll help us and we'll help them and we'll take on the Assyrians together. And really, if you look at it from the outside of just, if you ever watched Madam Secretary, great. You're like, man, that's what Madam Secretary would do. She would make a treaty with Egypt. Then now let's get into the scripture. Isaiah 30 verses 1 and 2. This is what it says. Woe, this is Isaiah, God talking through Isaiah. Woe to the obstinate children, declares the Lord. To those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance but not by my spirit, heaping sin upon sin, who go down to Egypt without consulting me, who look for help to Pharaoh's protection in Egypt's shade for refuge. Let me just say what he's saying. That's going to Egypt is smart, but it's not what I wanted you to do. I wanted you to come to consult me. I wanted you to come to me. I wanted you to seek me. If you have kids, have you ever watched, sat on the sideline, watching them do something that you just shake your head at? And in your spirit, you're like, I could have told you something better. You know, and in their mind, they're running through it. It sounded like a good plan at the time. It sounded good to me at the time. But you're frustrated because not only do I know better, but I want better for you. Do you see God? Like he's talking about obstinate children. You're like running around like ants trying to do something. When I had something more for me, I have a plan for this. He said, I have a way out. I have a direction for you, but you're not consulting me. You're running your plan. Let me just go back to your situation, whatever your situation is. How often do we do that? Like, we run our plan. So we make our pros and cons list. Then yes, well, these are the pros, these are the cons. We even get our coins out. All right, God, heads I go, tails I don't. We may even consult some people. What do you think I should do? But we don't really take these places of wrestling and lay them before God and say, God, I need your direction. You're my Father. You love me. You adore me. You want what's best for me. I have no idea how to walk through this crazy issue, this crazy problem, but you do. And so I need your direction. See, Egypt sounds good. Egypt is wise, but it wasn't God's plan. Let me just jump over a little bit. He goes through some of this chapter. He goes through just talking about the hardship, the distress, the shame that Pharaoh's not going to protect you. But verse 18, this is what he says. My version says it this way. Yet, I just stop there. In spite of, you're doing it your way. In spite of your direction, in spite of you're trying to solve your own problems, in spite of that, yet the Lord, this is what my verse says, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Do you get that? God wants to show you a way. God still is the Father saying, I still got a way. Therefore, he'll rise up to show compassion. He's going to pour out his love on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. This is what it keeps on going. People of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. Do you understand? When you're in anxiety, when your people are like in distress, when they're looking at the Assyrian army coming and looking at their kids saying, they may cut off my kid's arm, and they're weeping over it. He says, listen, you'll weep no more. As impossible as this sounds, there'll become a time when I show up and there'll actually be joy because of how I've shown up. As soon as he hears, he will answer. Listen to this verse. This is an interesting one. You can underline it at some point. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Do you know what he's saying? There will come a time, even though right now you're in the middle of struggle, you're in the middle of this issue, you're in the middle of your Assyrian army coming around you. He says, there, even though you're in the middle of that bread of affliction, there will come a day when you will hear his voice say, this is the step that I want you to take. This is the direction. This is the place. This is how I want you to handle it. This is it. Stop trying to do it your way. Stop trying to solve your own problem. Stop doing it the world's way. Stop trying to use your wisdom in getting out of this affliction. Start looking to the God who knows it all, who loves you, and his compassion never fails, and start letting him pour out onto you what he desires you to do. Let him be your guide. And the path, it says, you will hear it, and you'll be like, that is good. This, it goes on to say this. Verse 26, at the end it says, when the Lord binds up the bruises of his people and heals the wounds of the inflicted. I love that verse. It says, at the end of it, as he's walking through this Assyrian army coming at whatever your issue is, he will bind the wounds along the way, and he will deal with your struggle and your pain. And so there's a verse in the middle of this that is really the flipping point of moving from struggle and wrestling to healing and direction. It's verse 15. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. This is what he desires. This is, you want to get out of this? This is what you need to do. You want to know how to deal with your Assyrian army coming? This is what you do. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. The version on the wall says this: only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. In quietness and confidence in your strength. You know what it says? You want to know how to get direction from God in the middle of your Assyria? One, return. Come back. Get close to me again. Make me the priority. Repentance is really a change. It's a change of mind. It's a change of direction. It's like a prodigal son returning home. It's like you've been away, you come home. It says, come back to me and then rest. Do you get the dynamic of this? Like in this Assyrian army thing coming, rest is hard to find when you're in struggle. Sleep, you ever have one of those issues where you can't sleep at night? Your mind is spinning so fast, it's like grinding the gears. You're trying every way, every direction of how to solve it. It says, return to the God of your God and rest in me, and it will be your salvation. Now, a lot of times, if you've grown up in the church, you always take salvation to mean eternal salvation, which is true. You know, God wants to save us eternally. But this is really referring to salvation, rescue in the midst of our struggle. This is really saying he's going to show up in the midst of our situation. This is him being your rescuer right now and for eternity. Like, God just doesn't want to save you for heaven. He wants to be in the middle of your situations right now. He says, and I've been on sabbatical, and that's what a sabbatical really means, is rest. And that's a refilling. And to be able to just sit and say, all right, God, I'm resting, not in my situation, but I'm resting in you. Maybe another verse says this: be still and know that I am God, that I am in control, that I have the whole map lined up. I have this taken care of. This is the next one. Because, you know, sometimes when we're in those situations, our strength goes. It's like we're fighting and we're running out of rounds, and our strength is fleeing us, and we have no, he says, in quietness, again, it's that stillness and that, like, that quietness of heart, like, I'm going to distill myself, I'm gonna breathe, I'm going to let God some space, I'm going to let him run this, I'm going to let him speak into this, and confidence and trust is your strength does not come from you, it comes from trusting in him that he's going to take care of it. So I could have sat in this verse for a long time, but I wanted to make this very practical for you. Of how do you hear God in the midst of your Assyrian army? And I'm going to give you five things, all right? Just five things of how we find God's plan, God's will in the midst of our struggle and our anxiety. Number one is this: you got to take time to seek him. This is not a quarter in the machine, turn it and something pops out kind of God. He is a God of relationship. And so it will take some time for him to, he wants you to know him as much as he wants to solve your problem. And so you need to take time to seek him. Now listen to what I said. A lot of times we say, let's pray to him, which I agree with. But this is how we usually pray. This is the Israelites. God, we're going to Egypt. Bless me. Do you get that? God, I have my plan made up. Now I need you to make it work. And that's praying, but that's not seeking. Seeking is, God, I'm thinking Egypt, but I really need your will. But you need to make this clear to me. You need to speak into this. God, I'm going to listen to what you have to say. I'm not just asking you to bless my plans. I'm asking for your plan in this. And so I am seeking it like I seek a lost $100 bill. I'm seeking it like I love my lost child. I'm seeking it like it matters. I'm seeking it like I want this more than anything else. I'm seeking you, actually. And so it's got to become a priority of, God, I'm not so much focusing on the problem. I'm focusing on you because you're going to be the solution to my problem. Number two is this. Spend time seeking God in his word, because God shows up in his word. So as we're seeking God, we're praying, it's through God's word sometimes that he speaks to us. And it's a really interesting way he does it. Because obviously the words don't change on the page, but they change. They're living and active. Maybe, I hope you've experienced this. I'll give you this example. So in the middle of my sabbatical, the kids were at camp. Eli was on a mission trip, so my wife and I have some time. We're going to go on away. And one of my goals of the sabbatical is to really invest in my marriage. I want to serve you out of a healthy love. I mean, I want my marriage to be solid. Does it make sense? I can't serve a church and not be in love with my wife. Like, not just be in love. And so I'm you know, that's where I'm praying that that we just grow closer. And guess, as I'm doing my devotion, I'm just reading through it. That same week, I not only read a book that talks about Ephesians 5, but my reading ends up being in Ephesians 5. If you don't know what Ephesians 5 is, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, which as I've looked at that, that's a tough thing. And so for that week, that's where I sat. So God confirmed what he wanted to do in my marriage in my reading of Scripture. You ever have that confirmation? Like, you're reading, and that verse, that saying of Jesus, that story speaks exactly to the situation you're in. And if you're not in God's word, you can't experience that. Because God speaks through his word. Number three is this. Seek God with somebody else. Because here's the truth. We can make God say what we want him to say sometimes, even though he's not saying it. Let me point it this way. When I was in high school, Gina and I liked Gina. I'm not sure she liked me. It was one of those things. And so we didn't have cell phones. So my parents had a phone in their room. And so I wanted to call her, but I kind of didn't. And so I'd get out the magic quarter and say, all right, God, best two out of three. If it's heads, I'll call her. Tails, I don't. So I'd toss it up, and there'd be a tails. And be like, okay, well, that's a practice, all right? Let's go. So then I'd do a couple more practices, and then the tails would be like two. I'd get two tails. All right, no. God, I know now. We don't do anything two out of three. It's always three out of five. Do you understand what I'm saying? Eventually, I got to the three heads, and I called her. We do that sometimes with him. We try to get him to say what we want him to say. So we have to be very careful that we're in submission and humility saying, God, I don't want it to be me. I don't want to make you say what I want you to say. I want your way. And so sometimes what you need to do is bring someone along with you. Bring a couple people along with you that you trust and say, this is my situation. This is my Assyria. This is what I'm wrestling through. Will you seek God with me in this? And this is what we do. This is what Gene and I do sometimes we'll like, don't talk to me about it for a while. Don't tell me what you're thinking. You're praying and I'm praying. And in whatever set of time, 2 weeks, we're going to get together and we're going to talk about what God said to you and what God said to me. And if God said the same thing to my wife as he said to me, I'm thinking that's a pretty good sign that it's God speaking. What if you got someone into your Syria that had no dog in the fight? Does that mean they don't have a reason to make it say one way? And so you just ask them to come in and say, I want you to be very, I just want you to see God in this, and I want you to tell me as I'm seeking him what you're hearing from him for my situation. Do you see how the confirmation happens? Let me just give you another one. Look for God echoes. You know what an echo is, right? I say something and it's like, hello, 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 hello. You know God kind of repeats things because we're kind of thick-headed. So you'll start hearing what God wants you to do, and then you'll be listening to the radio, and there'll be a sermon on it. Then, you ever have this one? I hear this from many of you. How do you know what's going on in my life? It's like you're speaking right into my life. And I'm like, do you not understand the God we serve? That he knows you, and it's not anything about what Jeremy, me, or whoever else spoke. God is a God who wants to speak to you, and that's a God echo of God speaking. And so God like kind of here, then you'll hear in a friend, then you're here, you're like, yeah, that's a God thing. That's a direction. Maybe this is the last one. This is the fifth one. Sometimes we get paralyzed in where God wants us to go because we want the whole picture. We want A to Z lined up from God, and all he's given us is B. Sometimes we just have to take the next natural step. We're looking at our Assyria, at our issues, and we want to be out of it, and God wants us to take us one step into it and through it. So we take that step. And then when we're there, we take another step. And then we take another step. And then we take another, and eventually we see what God's doing. We're like, wow, God. And you know what the funny thing is? A lot of times when we're looking at God's plan, maybe it's a job situation, and you feel like God says, oh, I want you to send an application to this place. God has a job lined up for me. You ever? And you send it to him. And then because you sent it there, something else happened. It's basically a domino in the chain of God's dominoes. It had nothing to do with that job. It had a whole different plan that he wanted you to take. Don't wait for the whole picture. Take one step. Take the God step that he has for you right there and see where God takes it. This morning what we're going to do is I'm going to have the worship team come up. And I've invited some leaders of the church, some people to stand up front. And I don't know how serious your Assyria is, how much struggle that you're going through right now, but I want to tell you the church is a place not where you go through it alone, but you go through it with somebody. We want to walk beside you. It's not about the what you're going through, sometimes about the who you're going through it with, and we want to be a church where you don't go through it alone. And so we have people up here who want to pray for you, and maybe you don't want to share the details. You don't have to. You may just want someone to pray over you. And maybe it's all you want today, and just let God's presence be there. Maybe you want to share a few details. Say, hey, I need some help here. I need some wisdom. I need some direction. Maybe it's for somebody else. Maybe you know someone who's going through an Assyria. You're like, I want to pray. I want you to pray for them. We have some people up here who will be willing to pray for you. I'll be up here as well. I want to go back to that verse again. I want you to, maybe you can even read it with me. Isaiah 30:15. You got it? I'll read it from my version. Maybe you don't want to read it with me. Just let God speak this to you this morning. Does that make sense? So maybe close your eyes for a second. Picture your Assyria, whatever you're wrestling with, and hear God say this to you this morning. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. God, we pray this morning as we end this time of worship, that we won't be doing what Israel did, just check into church and check out. God, there are some serious things people are wrestling with in here this morning. You know exactly what they're wrestling with. And what I love about you is you know exactly where they need to step. God, you don't promise it to be easy. You don't promise to take it away from us. But you do promise salvation and strength. So we want to rest in you today. We want to be quiet before you today. And we want you to speak into our hearts and give us your direction, your plan, your will, in Jesus' name. And let's stand and worship. If you want someone to pray with you, feel free to come up to the front and they'll pray with you. But let's worship together.